Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Derek, you unmuted me.
I did now.
Now I got to start over.
I don't know why it does that.
No. Well, welcome to the URN Radio Show. I'm the Mouth of the South, the Paranormal Outlaw, and joining me as always is Mr. Martin Bravo and Jeffrey the Dumbass Sterl. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Genius.
No, because you had me muted again.
No, I didn't do that.
Oh, man.
That weren't me.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. It's a nice, cold Sunday here in the state of Texas, where
it
we're all
not,
at.
It is not cold.
Yeah, it's pretty damn cold.
No, it's not. I got the window open here.
Well, you got a lot more insulation than I do.
Nah, that's got nothing to do with it. It's just called being that much more of a man than you are.
A lazy weekend for myself. Just sat around and watched some football all weekend, and that was pretty much it. Watched a new documentary series, or not a series, but it was like a special on the JFK assassination. It was on CNN. No, History Channel. It was on History Channel, yeah. So,
what were they saying about it?
The History Channel did an extensive poll. One that's never been attempted before, and pretty much talked about all the conspiracy theories, all the facts that are out there, and polled Americans, and revealed all those polls throughout the show. It was really interesting. They had like top five people that were actually responsible for the assassination. And 27% of Americans believe that the mafia was the number one finger to point at.
Really?
I think number two, yeah. Number two, they were all pretty close in percentages. I think number two, like 24%, was the U.S. government. And then I think number three was like the communists.
So. Here's some facts I bet they didn't point out. Do you know who the mayor of Dallas was at that time?
No idea.
Guy by the name of Earl Cabell. His brother was General Charles Cabell, who had been deputy director of the CIA, and Kennedy fired him. Another director of the CIA was Alan Dulles. Kennedy fired him as well. And Dulles was the guy that was appointed by the Warren Commission to investigate the events in Dallas that day.
Huh. I should put Stacy on the phone, man. She's done so much research on the Kennedy situation. She knows what he had for breakfast.
Here's a couple of just irrefutable facts that you cannot argue with. The doctors at Parkland Hospital
all said that the throat wound was a wound of entry.
That's what she said.
And the back of the president's head had been blasted out. Now, you can conduct whatever tests you want that can prove or disprove whether or not, you know, he could be killed from the sixth floor window of the book depository. You can, whatever, you know, theories you want to provide on that are fine. You cannot argue with those facts.
We know that Oswald was like a hell of a shot. What if he did a ricochet off like the dashboard and came back?
Well, see, that's just it. Oswald was not a hell of a shot. According to his Marine buddies, he wasn't very good. And the last sniper test that he did in the Marines was basically just, it was basically their, a terminology for adequate.
Right.
But the first, the first one he got was sharpshooter. But the last one he took was just marksman, which, I mean, is still pretty good. But they also never mentioned the fact to try to shoot through heavy foliage.
Oh, yeah. And that's kind of like you just get a green, what do you call it, like a green ribbon for trying, you know? You're like, here you go. You came through this event. But
the nitrate test that they conducted on him indicated he didn't even fire a single weapon that day. And if he had been as smart as they claimed he was, he would have been smart enough to take the weapon apart rather than just stash it on the other side of the room.
Right. Let me set it down by the window and take off running.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, the crazy thing is the Secret Service got in an argument with the hospital officials. They wanted to take the body back to Washington. And without an autopsy, and they violated Texas law by doing so.
Yes, they did. Texas law states, it has always stated, that if you are murdered in the state of Texas, if an autopsy is to be done, it's to be done in Texas.
Right.
And they violated that.
Yeah, it's... They did so show on that series there. I think it was 88% of Americans believe that Oswald was not acting alone.
I don't know.
So
I mean, like, without
at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, with a lot of the news stuff,
they don't believe what the government came out with in the Warren Commission report. 88% of Americans believe that if nothing that the government has said about it.
I can understand that.
Yeah. And I only wish that something like this would have happened during the rise of iPads and iPhones, because there would be like no mistaking what happened that day, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, there's about eight films from Dealey Plaza, from that event. But, of course, the one that got the best shot was Abraham Zapruder.
I mean, could you imagine something like that happening now in Dealey Plaza? I mean, there would be like it would be on YouTube before what's-his-name was even taken to the hospital, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Here's another little fact. Secret Service agents are trained those that are driving the cars. They're trained to where if they hear anything that even resembles gunfire, you hit the gas.
Right.
When the first shot was fired, the Secret Service agent that was driving the car slowed down.
To make for a better shot?
Well, you could say that. That's why. I'm just saying that's what he did.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, you know, like, they had this, the JFK Memorial thing this past Friday.
Uh-huh.
And, and there was a lot of protesters out there that the police kind of, you know, corralled up just so they wouldn't, you know, intervene with the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, man, I'll tell you what, like, from the time that it happened to the time I made it home was probably like a half hour. There's already like 4 YouTube videos about how the police were being, like, unjust. And, you know, I do think that police kind of go out of their way to do bad things sometimes, but at this one, it was just like they were just trying to make sure that nobody was being, you know, unruly, and you
right.
know, there was kids out there. So they, you know, they're like, well, you can protest all you want, just do it over here. That way, you know, you're not disturbing the peace. And man, when I got home, it was just like, you know, 4 videos already up, like, oh, police are being, you know, police state America, and I was like, oh man, this is crazy.
What? Check this out. Did y'all ever hear about the 3rd wounded man in the assassination?
Uh-uh.
This guy by the name of James Tague, he was standing by the bridge, and he was nicked by fragments of a bullet. And his name is it was mentioned in the Warren Commission. He couldn't even get a pass to the events this weekend.
What?
Yeah.
Well, they're afraid facts would come out.
I don't know. He just wanted to be there, you know, but.
Yeah,
like,
speaking of getting a pass, Clay, the other member of my team, he got a pass to go there this weekend. He was out there like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the he said it was harder than applying for a job. They did such an extensive background search on you, and
oh, yeah.
You had to fill out all these super, like, all these forms, and then it had to get approved like 60 days in advance and stuff like that. It was crazy.
James Tague, a man who was directly involved and was affected by that, couldn't go.
Yeah, that was like all those firefighters that were involved with 9/11 weren't even allowed to go to the memorial.
Yep. That's what I said.
I think that's wrong. If anything, they should be, you know, they should be the reason the memorial's even taking place.
Yep.
Crazy.
That's a crap.
That was like that was the reopening, wasn't it?
Yeah. The 10th anniversary celebration.
Yeah.
Or not celebration,
well,
but, you know, ceremony.
Celebration.
Yeah. Long choice
not
of
really
words there.
Like, woo, bad things happen to us. Oh, man.
You know, this is the week where all diets go out the window with Thanksgiving. And,
man, for real.
And then Friday, I'm staying completely as far away from any kind of store as possible with Black Friday, which it kind of starts, it seems like every year it gets earlier and earlier. I saw commercials on television where it's starting at like 8 o'clock Thursday night, Thanksgiving night.
Walmart started theirs this past Friday.
Bastards.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, that's another thing. Did you guys hear about that whole controversy thing about Walmart and their donation box for struggling employees?
Struggling Walmart employees, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, apparently Walmart had made a donation box for employees that were struggling, and then other employees could just, you know, throw food or toys or whatever into the box, and the employees that really needed it would get it, right? The only bad thing is that there are a lot of people that talked about it, and they turned it out to be a bad thing because it was like how, you know, you're a multi-billion dollar company, and you can't even afford to help your employees out in their time of need. And the other thing that was said was like, the other thing that was said is, like, you pay your employees so far below the poverty level that they need help.
Yeah.
Walmart employees on government assistance than any company in America.
Yep.
And a landslide.
That's not exactly a statistic to be proud of.
No, not really. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, the CEO of Walmart in 1 hour makes what all the employees below him make in a day. You know, like combined.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And it's like,
I think it was 2004 or 2005. This happened. Walmart employees have like a something called like a rainy day fund or something like that, where, you know, if people get injured on the job or they can't come to work because of illness or whatever, if they're out for prolonged periods of time, this they can dip into this fund, you know, if they've contributed to it, and they'll get some help. Well, I think it was 2004 or 2005. Walmart employees donated over $18 million to this fund. Guess how much the Walton family donated to that same fund?
Probably not even a dollar.
$5,000.
What?
$5,000.
$80 billion
a year family, and they donate just $5,000. Don't get me wrong, that's good, but still. They can
afford more. And that's how I feel about the donation box that employees contribute. It's like, you know, if your store, if your company makes more money than it really needs to, you know, and you're putting other small businesses out of business because you can just, you know, afford to do it like that, then you should be able to either afford to pay your employees well or, you know, create a funding system that helps your employees out in their time of need, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, shifting to tonight's guest, because I believe he is on hold. Tonight our guest is psychic medium Rick Wade. I had him on my other show, Terrify Radio, a couple weeks ago. And so now he's going to join us on this show.
Sweet.
Rick, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great, man, going great. Ending the day the right way.
That's right.
How's that?
Talking to me.
What was that?
I said talking to me. That's the best way to end any day.
There you go, yes. Doing a good radio show. That's great, man.
There you go. Oh, man. So how cold is it out where you're at, man?
About 23.
Oh.
I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty cold.
Yeah, that's a little cold.
I wish it was that cold here. It's like 32 here.
Of course, really.
My book just came out this weekend. My Paranormal Journey, One Man's Obsession. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
Nice.
Yeah. For the listeners out there that may not know much about you, give a little bit of background of how you got into this and, you know, how you developed your abilities and whatnot, and we'll go from there.
Okay, well, what happened was, you know, I had a few things happening growing up, you know, anyway, some weird things were happening, you know. I could actually do a few things and things would actually come true, you know, and I never really paid attention to it. I just would guess at certain things. And, for instance, like my sister was going to go buy a dog, and I just gave her randomly it just came to me, just out of the blue. I said, you're going to see a white dog. It's going to come running to you. It's going to have a brown patch above the left eye, and that's the dog you're going to get. So as soon as we walked in the door, there was like, I don't know, 8 or 10 puppies there, and this one puppy got up and ran to the door. We're talking about probably about 25-foot hallway, and came right up to her, and that was exactly the dog she got. So see, that was just something that was coming to me. I didn't understand it. I thought it was cool. You know, I didn't think anything about it. And then one day, my wife decided to record an actual paranormal show, a ghost hunting show. And what happened was I really got into it. It was really interesting, really cool. I like to watch these people. I like to see what they was doing. I like to see the stuff that was captured. I mean, it really was exciting, and we watched it every time it came on. So it was really, really cool. But see, even at that point, I didn't think, you know, I'm gonna be an investigator. You know, I just love the show. But then my son come down, Andrew came down, and he said to me, he said, "Dad, let's go check out this creepy house down at the end of the road tonight." So I agreed, and we went down there and brought some other friends, and I went around the actual house, and I looked up, and there was actually this shutter door that was open, and I said, just like they done, you know, like they said on the radio, you know, if there's any spirits around here, say a word or something. I said, well, if there's any spirits here, close that door, and by George, they did it right then. You know, there was no wind. I couldn't feel any wind, but it closed. So I was geeked, and I told everybody there. I said, listen, guys, this really happened. They're like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know. So I went back home, got my video camera, drove back with my son-in-law, Rick, and then we pulled in the driveway there, and then I started videotaping again. And I said, if there's any spirits here, open the door. I said it one more time, and, man, it happened right then, exactly when I asked. And my son-in-law's going nuts next to me, man, you got to be recording this. And I was recording it. And I said, yeah, this is for the whole world to see. And I had no clue what was going on, but it blew me away. That actually started it. That started all my adventure into the paranormal, was that first thing, open that door for me. That opening actually opened my mind to the paranormal, really saying, my goodness, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And that's what started it all. And I actually have that video, so which is really cool. I've kept that video for 7 years, and I have it, and I love it. It's my best video I've ever had, so it's really, really cool.
That's awesome. Cool. That's quite an experience.
Well, it's really an amazing experience because, see, the thing is, on that door, what was so cool was, this is what made me a believer. It's just not that one instance, you know. It wasn't
right.
That. What made me a believer is I came back again. And I brought my son-in-law with me, and I said, let's go ahead and let's do this again and see if it does it. When we got there, and we pulled out in the driveway. We got out there, walked out by the door, and then we started talking. My camera ended up breaking. It just wouldn't work. It started making weird noises. It would not open up. It would not close. It would not turn off. It broke right then. But still, that door did probably about 15 to 20 commands for us. It kept doing everything we asked. We said, open halfway, it opened halfway. We said, close fast, it closed fast. We said, open slow, it opened slow. But we had nothing to prove this. Now, that video right there would have been, if my camera would have worked, it would have blown the industry, just blown it away. Because that's what would have happened. Because there's no way a door can do that much, that many things on cue. There's no way. But, you know, that's how it works. You know, the best evidence you get, sometimes you can't capture. But you know it's there and it happened to you.
That's the truth, man.
but that's actually, you know, that started my journey into it. You know, and what happened was I started going out every night. I started researching the paranormal. You know, it's just the start of an addiction. But then it grew because every time I went out, something new happened. Something interesting happened that never happened before. So it was like they was giving me candy, and I love candy, right? I kept coming back for more. And that's exactly what it was, man. It was amazing. So every time I went out to a place, and the thing is what was interesting is these places I was going to, they were old abandoned buildings, old churches, old houses, old buildings, you know, anything where I felt energy was there, and what happened, I was slowly developing a psychic ability, and every time I went by a certain old building, like, I could see it in the far distance, wow, look at that old broken-down place, and I would go there, I'm talking walls down, ceilings down, we're talking really bad condition, and I would go there, sit on a board, and just talk, and communicate, and that's how it all started, and I would do this on all these places of my job. It took me all over the place, so I could see many, many abandoned homes. So it was beautiful to go to these places, nobody around, out in the country, and I would just sit there and relax. I wouldn't disturb anything. I'd just sit there and relax and talk and communicate and maybe sing a song, whatever I needed to do. And I'm telling you, pretty soon they connected with me to a point where they gave me so much information where I had to keep coming back. In each area, I didn't care where it was. If I went by the area, I was going back there and talking to the spirits. And they were giving me information. And what really got me so much into the paranormal field was my audio recorder. That was amazing because I started doing audio, And pretty soon, it got to a point where I was getting, honestly, 30 EVPs a minute. And I'm telling you, they was like telling me a story. I was getting kids. I was getting men. I was getting females. I was actually getting dogs. I was getting animals. I was getting all kinds of stuff that should not be in there. I was getting slamming doors. I was getting walking. I was getting whispers. I was getting hollering. I was getting screaming. I'm telling you, I had all kinds of interesting stuff. Train sounds that there was no trains around. But I was getting audio from trains that were there. And I did research on the place, and, well, there used to be a train about a mile away. But, it all, you know, they took it all up and got rid of it and made it into a road or something. So this stuff was really amazing. And I would always do research. You know, I wouldn't just play around and just get this information. I would do research. I did one research on one actual a church and what a schoolhouse. And what was so cool about it was I put my recorder in there, and it recorded for probably about 45 minutes, and I came back and picked it up, and I let my wife listen to it. I said, listen to this. You've got to listen to this. In that recording, there were 5 trains that came on. You could hear the trains. Different trains at different times would come by, and I couldn't figure it out because there was no trains from miles away, miles away. So I would go and do research, and I did research on these old schoolhouses, where they got, you know, where they were built and how they were built and all this stuff. And part of the research was that one of the old abandoned places where a train depot, like probably about 5 or 8 miles away, was actually torn down. And they took the bricks, because it was built the same time frame as the old schoolhouses, and they took the bricks and replaced these bricks in these schoolhouses around the area. They used those bricks. They never threw them away. They used them and put them in these old schoolhouses. And that's what I was doing, was picking up the energy of that actual train depot like 30 years ago. Is that amazing or what?
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing. And that was what was happening to me. So many things that was unbelievable was happening to me, and that's what made me so addicted. And they kept giving me stuff. They never let me down. If I went out on a stormy, rainy night, downpouring, matter of fact, I went out on a stormy, rainy night one time. I drove by my house. I went out, and there was a cross over by the train tracks where this girl had actually been killed. And I went there, and I put my recorder in some plastic bags. I had 2 recorders, and I put them in separate bags, and I laid them there by the actual place where her body was found, or wherever the accident happened. And I went and walked back to my car, and I sat there, and all of a sudden, I said, well, I'm going to go back out and check. As I'm start walking, a cop pulls up, and he says, what are you doing? And I just come right straight out and told him, I said, listen, sir, somebody passed away here. I'm trying to connect with their energy with my recorders. And he looked at me and said, man, he never even said anything really to me. He just said, listen, just, you know, I have to check this place because you're by a restaurant, and I don't want, you know, anything fishy going on with the restaurant. But other than that, he let me go. He didn't bother me or anything and just went on. I don't know what he was saying to himself. You know what I mean? What a nutcase. But, you know, it's downpouring, and I'm walking in this. This is how addicted I was, that rain never stopped, snow never stopped. I'm telling you, man, it was exciting. And my wife said, are you seriously going out in this? I said, yes, it's a blizzard. I have to go. I really feel I can make a good connection tonight. And, yeah, she would go to bed, asleep, by herself, every night for almost 2 years. I'm telling you, it was really a bad obsession.
Now, do you share the same obsession, or has it kind of died off a little bit?
Oh, we really don't want anything to do with it. Because I was so bad with it. You know, the thing is, what's interesting is, see, she got into all this stuff before I even got into it. You know, she got into Sylvia Brown. She watched all these psychic shows and stuff. And I really never got into it. But whenever I got into it, I gave her so much that she got to a point where she didn't want anything to do with it, because it was always my central talk. You know, my main talk to everybody was about ghosts and spirits. I lost so many friends. I almost lost my job. You know, and I had police come to my house, too, because that's what happened. I actually put people in fear and scared them because of what I was feeling or seeing in the house. And I mentioned it to them, and that was wrong. You can't do that. I actually did one lady. I said, listen here, I wrote down 15 things about your house before I even got here. She said, what? She said, well, tell me about it. I said, okay. So I told her everything about it, and everything was there, even inside her house, outside her house. you know, the information, even the conversation was coming through what I was, you know, what she was going to talk about. And I said, there's everything on here, but there's no, like, there's no raspberry bushes or berry bushes or something like that. She said, well, she took me outside and walked me around the side, and my goodness, all along her right side of her house was these raspberry bushes, which is kind of strange because you wouldn't have them in town like that, you know, unless you
right.
would see, you know, somebody planting them like that. So, yeah, it was just amazing. But then she ends up calling the bigwigs, and next thing you know, they said, listen, one more mess up, one more, you're fired on the spot. We cannot play games with religion or anything about that. So I had to keep my mouth shut, even though all this weird stuff was happening to me, and I was going in all these old houses and feeling all this energy. I mean, it actually come up to me, and I can actually feel them draining me. I got one time I was so sick, I was with one of my workers. I got so drained and so tired, exhausted, I had to walk out of the place, catch my breath, clear my mind, and then I felt better. That's how much energy was going on, and it really messed me up. It really got to me. And I couldn't tell nobody anymore, so I had to keep it all to myself. And so that's kind of a scary thing. Scary thing.
Wow. Your new book that you just came out with, what's that book entail?
Well, basically what it is, it starts out with just exactly what I'm saying. It starts out with the actual door, and it goes through everything that happened to me, every place I went to, every interesting story, every turn I took, I wrote it down. Every story about my audio. I mean, there's so many stories in this book. I even did information about my sister. When I first started getting the ability, that's actually in there too. So I started, you know, I said, man, this is really weird. I can actually see things and it happens. So I tried this out at a bar scene. I said, listen, ladies, you mind if I sit down and tell you what I see? You know, just throw it out, you know. I had a few beers. I mean, I wasn't thinking anything about it. I sat down there. I'm telling you, I hit like probably 9 out of 10 things or 15 out of 16 things, and they were actually direct connects with each individual. I would actually look at them and pick up something about them that happened that day or happened yesterday, and it just kind of blew their mind, but at the same time scared them. But that's all this book is about, is every thing that happened to me is in this book, from the actual learning how to read, from actually working on missing person cases, working actually with some detectives. I mean, all this stuff, that my adventures are all in here, from step one all the way till I started being able to get rid of the recorder and actually be able to actually hear them, feel them, and not really see them, but see them in my head, but not really actual see them. But that's how it all started. It all started from that point, and all that's in the book, all of my mistakes, and believe me, I made many mistakes, all of my actual lies. I actually lied a lot because I was addicted. There's a point in my book, and there's an actual picture in my book, where I actually was so, I felt so bad because I was me against the world because nobody wanted me to do the recording anymore because they were so sick of it. So I ended up going in my garage and laying that recorder down for my wife's birthday, and I busted that thing to pieces on video. I have that video. I just tore it up. I felt good for just probably a day or maybe 2 days, and then it started affecting me. My job, I started having issues. I wanted it. It was just like a drug. I needed that. I needed to hear that voice. I needed to hear that movement in the house. I didn't have it. I had no gift. And I felt, wow, this is terrible. So I ended up going into an actual grocery store and asking my wife to take the kids out to the car, and I ended up hiding a recorder and batteries and set myself all back up, right back in the program. And I started doing this behind scenes and her not knowing about it, her thinking that the recorder was gone. So that's basically, and I basically was doing it wrong. But what I was doing, it was feeding that I needed to be fed. And that recorder was the only thing that was feeding me. And so pretty soon, but, you know, it got to the point where what was happening was I would actually go to places and I was getting some weird voices, some creepy voices, some actual sound like evil voices. Some would say, we want you, and some would argue and bicker and fight over me. And then it got to a point where one of them came on and said, Rick is a demon. I'm like, what? That's what it was saying. Rick is a demon. Rick is a demon. You know, is it saying that to me? I don't know what it was saying, but I think I had negative energy trying to get me. And that exactly what it was, I had a lot of positive energy too. So the positive energy and the negative energy was fighting. And it got to a point where I went to one of my actual research places, and I went and I got stuck, and I walked through like 3 foot of snow to get my recorder there, and I came back and I got stuck. I couldn't get out. And this guy came and he tried to pull me out. It didn't work. Another guy came, pulled me out, and gave me an actual Bible, like a little Bible brochure. And he said to me, stop doing what you're doing. And slowly after that, I started realizing that, you know, God is coming to me and giving me this information. Because right after that, I kept seeing Bibles all over the place. So I started realizing maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm listening to these EVPs, and I should not be listening to them. So I finally started thinking, well, let me see what I'm going to see at my next house. And this is in my book. I started seeing, okay, I'm going to see what I see. I started concentrating, and I saw, like, say, three things. And when I got there, one of them was exactly right. So that's how that started moving away from me, the recorder, and I started to see. And the seeing part was way more accurate than the actual audio part.
Huh.
So I didn't have to have the audio recorder anymore. I could see, hear, and feel with my actual mind, which was way better. So I could walk into a place and know things. I was remote viewing. I didn't even know what it was. I had no clue what it was. But I was remote viewing. And what happened, I started getting, because I needed help with this, and nobody even cared what I was doing or what I was seeing. I even went to radio stations. Matter of fact, I went to one radio station, check this out, and I said, listen, I think I have a gift. I think I can see now. And they did some research with me on with my audio recorder on Halloween. So I went down there, and they had 5 envelopes. And they said, listen here, Rick, there's 5 envelopes. They have something in them. You tell me what's in there. If you don't tell me what's in there, guess what we're going to do? I said, what? He said, we're going to taser you. I said, oh, that's no big deal. He said, if you get 3 wrong, we're going to cattle prod you. So guess what? So the first envelope that was shown to me, I said, okay, I said, this deals with the color red. And they're like, okay. So they opened it up, and it was a hot water bottle, you know, the old red hot water bottles.
That's what the image was.
And he said, by George, we got to give that to you because it is red. You know what I mean? So the next one I said, well, I'm seeing something about bondage. No, I'm seeing whips and I'm seeing leather. And then the second envelope said bondage. They said, my goodness, man, you've got 2 in a row. Well, then the last 3, they was being rough on me. I actually made sense to me, and it made sense to other people in the studio, but they wanted to hit me. You know what I mean? So the third one, they put that taser on me, and it didn't work the first time. And then he tasered me, and I'm like, that's not that big a deal. Well, then the fourth one, well, I got that one wrong, so he tasered me again. And then the fifth one, they felt I got it wrong too, and then they cattle prod me. And let me tell you something, man, when they hit me on it, I'm being a man. Because I'm trying to be a man on the radio, and there's people around me, like 10 people, you know. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, no problem. So they're hitting me with this thing. I'm telling you, it started in my arm. It was going through my arm, up to my chest, down my whole body. It was actually freaking me out because it was pulling me in, but I didn't let nobody know. But I'm telling you, that thing, I don't know how they, well, you know, maybe it's different for cows, but I'll tell you what, any much longer, they probably would have killed me, maybe give me a heart attack. I don't know. All I know is it felt like it was sucking me in that little that prod thing. It was sucking my whole body. Man, I'm telling you, it freaked me out. So I never did another test like that again. No.
I need to get a cattle prod to zap Jeff every time he says something wrong.
Well, you'd never use it because I'm always right.
Well, just think about that, man. You know, just and it was all for, you know, entertainment. When I came home, I had another psychic friend of mine said, man, they did you wrong. And then my wife said, man, I can't believe you let them do that. You know, but, you know, I'm part of the show. I can't just go in there, you know. I'm always a team player. That's the key. I'm a team player. I could have said, listen, man, you ain't touched me with that. But then the show wouldn't have went on, you know. They wouldn't have had their fun, you know. But, you know, I learned a lesson, and I went on from that point. But I tell you what, I will never let that happen again. Definitely. Never. But, you know, and that's all this stuff is in my book. all this stuff, my adventures, meeting people, actually going on actual calling brothers that lost their other brother and went missing, and all these stories are in there. And so it's really a different kind of book, because it takes you from a beginner ghost hunter to where I slowly start advancing on certain things. And I did, I'm telling you, I did so many things to try to debunk these things, too, in here, in the book. But, you know, it just would not let me debunk it because it was really happening. So there was no debunking to it. I couldn't find a way to debunk it. So that made a difference. For instance, check this out. I did an actual, at one of these places over by this mill, I put this recorder up on this old mill sign, and that's actually in my book, too, where the old mill sign used to be. And I put the recorder down. I'm telling you, that night, I left it on the recorder overnight. And probably 30 minutes into recording, I started hearing people walking. And I didn't hear one. I heard people walking for like 2 or 3 hours, constant walking around this recorder. And there's nobody there because my town dies at 11. So it was really, really interesting. So the next day, I went back there and I took flour because I got this information from a guy named Todd Bates. He actually helped me. Todd Bates, he's in the radio biz. And he said, listen, throw some powder, you know, some flour out there. So I actually threw some flour out there, and I put the recorder back up there. Well, the next day I did the same thing, left it over there, come back and picked it up. I'm telling you, there was no markings anywhere in the flour, and there was an hour and a half, 2 hours of walking again. So see, how can you not say that was not an actual communication from the other side or an actual energy that actually keeps looping itself, you know what I mean? Because it will loop itself, like on certain days or something, you know, I don't know, but that's what happened. That was so amazing with my journey, because no matter what I did to try to prove that it wasn't there, it was there. I could not prove it. I took an actual 2 audio recorders. I laid them next to each other, and I left them. And I came back, and then when I started listening on the recorder, at the same time, I say 3 minutes in the recording, on both recorders, I get this man talking a conversation. On the other recorder, at the same time, I get a female talking on a recorder. So see, on 2 different types of recorders, I was getting 2 different voices that were talking about 2 different things. Impossible. Impossible. In an empty, old, abandoned house. It's impossible. And that's what it was. And whenever I did these audio recordings, man, I would sit for like 8 hours, honestly, while I'm driving on the road doing my job, I would listen to every little thing. And I tell you what, I got to a point where I actually hurt my hearing because I would be listening and there would be no sound, and all of a sudden I hear a big bang that actually would be so intense it would just pop my ear. So it got to a point where I had to actually stop listening because my hearing was going, it was hurting me. And now I have, from now on, I have this cracking noise in my hearing. So if I go listen certain times of the day, it just start cracking where I can't hear very good out of my ear. So something, it messed up something in my ear. It's really crazy.
You know, that's actually bringing up a good point. Can paranormal hurt your hearing by, you know, because there's a lot of investigators out there that spend hours upon hours of listening to audio, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that have a negative effect on your hearing over the years?
And that's exactly what it did. And, you know, and maybe that was another way that the spirits and energies out there were saying, listen, you know, you got to get out of this. You ain't going to have no hearing in your ear. You know what I mean? And it got really intense. I'm telling you, it would be like a super loud bang or slam of a door. Like, it would be right next to the recorder. And it would be so intense, I'd have to pop the recorder away from my ear because it really was so loud. I actually did a recording, and this is in my book too. I actually did a recording at my mother-in-law's house. She lived way up north. I put the recorder in her kitchen, and she just remodeled this kitchen. So I'm thinking, well, this is definitely going to be some activity. So I put the recorder there, and I went to bed. And then I got up the next morning and got the recorder before everybody, and I started listening to it. And like 2 hours in the audio recording, I could hear somebody tearing that kitchen apart. I'm telling you, they were tearing the kitchen apart. Now you can hear pans, you can hear knives, you can hear glass, you can hear everything, slamming doors, everything. And I asked her, I said, well, did anybody get up last night? She said, well, I didn't get up because they live down, they are downstairs and we're upstairs. And I asked everybody. Nobody got up. You could not hear anybody even walking because they have squeaky floors. You could hear it, but you couldn't hear anything. But all of a sudden, I mean, it was so loud, it was just like a symphony being played in there. It was really crazy. So I went and I actually played it for her. And I said, listen to this. She said, and see what she did, this is what was happening to me. People would listen to this stuff and just blow it off like it was nothing. And I'm like, you're telling me this is nothing? Listen to this. This somebody's tearing your kitchen up and there's nobody in there. But nobody would listen to me. Nobody cared. I did an actual, in the same place, I actually put my recorder on an actual china cabinet. And I knocked like dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And then I went up and used the restroom. And you can hear every step, me walking up there. You can actually hear the flushing of the bathroom. And you can hear me start to actually walk down. And all of a sudden, after I flushed the toilet, you can see I'm right there. I mean, it's a long distance to get to where it needs to be. And all of a sudden, dun, 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 dun. And then you hear a rooster crow, too, on the audio, which is kind of cool because there was no roosters at the time at the house. So, which is really cool. So, I mean, think about it. These things like that are impressive. How the heck? There was nobody in the house. How is that happening? That direct connection. I call it direct connect because it's actually what I'm asking for, they're given. It was just beautiful. Beautiful.
Now, what's your, you know, what do you think that source of that audio is coming from? You know, because obviously it's not there when you're recording, but when you go back to review, it's there, like it was happening, you know?
Well, you know, with the actual same amount of knocks, the same beat that I actually gave, it has to be happening right then. It has to be. It's not a reoccurring thing because the china cabinet is not from there. You know what I mean? It has to be happening right then at that time frame. This is something that you can't say, well, this could be previous. No, it can't be. It has to be exactly right then. And this has happened to me other times. Matter of fact, Todd Bates said the same thing to me on another place. He said, Rick, if you really want to truly, really believe this is really happening, he said, you take that recorder, you go to a place, and you do four things in a row. And if they do the four things in a row, you know for a fact they're there, right there with you. So I went and I did this, and this actually in my book, you can actually see the actual picture of the actual place where I did this. And I put this recorder there, I laid it down, I stomped on the floor, I wiggled the handle, I knocked on the door, and I played with the latch. So when I came back, you know, I left the recorder, I came back, you know, 30 minutes later, I picked it up, started listening. Well, there was a stomp, there was the handle, there was a knocking on the door, and there was a latch. Exactly what I did right in a row. How can that happen unless they are right there with you? Because they are.
Exactly.
And that was an amazing place because actually they turned my recorder off. I hid my recorder in the basement where nobody else could see it, up on a ledge. And next thing you know, another night I left. I came back next morning. I'm bummed out because there's no audio on it. I'm like, what? Somebody shut this off. You know, the battery shouldn't be dead. So I went there and I looked at it, and actually the batteries were dead. So I put new batteries in, and I listened to it. And all of a sudden, probably within 5 minutes after I leave, 5 or 10 minutes, someone goes there, grabs it, plays around. You can hear it. You can hear all that, playing around with it, breathing, and then pushes the button and shuts it off. Come on.
Right.
I mean, these places are abandoned. There's nobody around. I mean, sometimes there's blocks away. There's nobody around. Who the heck is going to do that, find my audio recorder, and do this? It's impossible. And that's why I was so blown away with this. And I kept a lot of this to myself because nobody cared. Nobody really cared. So it's like me alone by myself. That's why it's one man's obsession, because it really was me, because everybody got sick of it. I'm telling you, it took over my life 24/7. You know, I mean, if you was married to me, if a wife was married to me, she's like, dude, do you have anything else to talk about? You have me. You have four kids. You know what I mean? You have, come on. Is there anything else you can talk to me about besides dead spirits, ghosts? But I couldn't. Because that was part of my journey. I had to get through that. I don't talk about that anymore because after a little while, in my book, you can see I started getting rid of the obsession of the recorders and the ghosts and the spirits and the video camera and the digital. There was a process to get rid of the digital, a process to get rid of the video camera, and the process to get rid of the audio recorder. And then it got to the point where I started doing readings on the Internet. And I said to myself, man, I'm going to try this. So I started going on a place called Ghost Place. Have you ever heard of ghostplace.com?
No, I think I have.
It's an old paranormal forum. And I used this about 5 years ago. I started on this forum, and I started posting my videos and stuff, you know, and they're like, man, that's not real, that's fake, and they had debunkers on there. So whenever I posted my actual video, my first big video, I posted it on there, and they all loved it because they could not debunk it. They couldn't figure out, you know, now, there's no way. I mean, you know, they just couldn't figure it out. They actually had positive feelings about it. But I started on this website, and then later on I got off of that, because that's with my ghost stuff, and I got off of it, and then later on I started doing the readings. I got back on the Ghost Place, and I put my first reading board up there. I said, let me see what I can see, you know, just come in here and post, you know, ask for a reading, let me see. And then people started coming. Next thing you know, I was the top actual post on the site within probably 2 weeks. People were coming. I had over 200 responses. People were coming like crazy. And because of what I was seeing, you know, it started out really small. I wasn't getting everything right. And the next thing you know, boom, I was getting 2 or 3, 4 or 5, 6 or 7. Next thing you know, I was 75% right. And I was seeing things that were so amazing. For instance, I had this one lady. I said, listen, I keep seeing a shoe. And it's really weird. It's like an old lady shoe, and it's drawn on paper. It's like, are you an artist? So she comes back, and she sends me this photograph. She's actually a student in college, and she's an artist. And she actually drew this amazing old shoe. I described it down to the shoelaces, exactly how it was. And people on the site were saying, what the heck? How the heck did he see this? And that's what I was seeing. I was given this information from my guides. I didn't know what my guides were at the time. But I was given this information. I was connecting with my guide that was connecting to their energy or to their guide. And that's what was given. All this information was given to me. So it was really fun for a while. And then I had a psycho come on. I said, listen, read me and you won't ever want to read me again. So I said, hey, whatever. You know, I didn't think anything about it. And when I read him, I'm telling you guys, it would blow your mind. Because I seen him boiling blood. I seen him drinking blood. It was creepy. And I posted this stuff on there. It was the worst read I ever had in my life. And people were shocked. And he instantly left the site. And I don't know who he was. He might have been a serial killer. I do not know. But it was really weird because after that, check this out, after that read, I went to the bar again. I thought I'd play around, you know, have a little fun time, you know, do some karaoke because I like to sing. Do some karaoke, and all of a sudden I see this guy from the corner looking at me. I'm like, man, why is that guy looking at me? And he kept looking at me, giving me some weird faces. So he came over and sat by the table, and he said to me, he said, how y'all doing tonight? I was like, hey, doing good, man. Doing a little singing. He said, so how you doing, Rick? I'm like, how do you know my name? He said, I know a lot about you. I said, really? What else you know? Next thing you know, the guy laid out my childhood. It was weird. He knew things about me that nobody else knew. It was weird. It was like either he might have been an actual guardian angel. I don't know. But after a while, I was getting freaked out because he knew too much, way too much stuff. So I'm thinking, why does this guy know so much? He might have been a guide for me, but he started getting really mean and nasty. You know what I mean? And I didn't know if my guy would be like that, you know? So and this happened to me younger whenever I was younger, this happened the same thing. A black guy came into one of my rooms whenever I was I was in the military. I was staying at this place, a barracks, and this guy came in, and he said to me, "You have many great things are going to happen to you." And I was like, "Really? I mean, who are you?" You know, and he started going and talking to me, and he knew things about my mom. He knew things about my future. He knew a lot of things. I'm like, out of the blue, this guy shows up. So he must have been another guide, and I didn't even understand it and couldn't connect until now in my life. I can connect and say this, and this guy had to have been a guide. He had to have been. So it's very interesting. I've had people around me watching me and protecting me for many, many years, And that's exactly how it works. They have planned this for me. It took me a long time to get where I'm at now. But what it was is I used to have these nightmares all the time for my whole childhood all the way up until I started ghost hunting. When I started ghost hunting, these nightmares, these night terrors where I'd get up, run around, I'd see demons. I thought they were demons all the time, and maybe they weren't demons. Maybe they were my guides. Maybe they were somebody there trying to tell me, listen, dude, wake up. You are here to help people. You know, and that's exactly what it was. I didn't understand it. And as soon as I started ghost hunting, as soon as that door opened up, I never had another nightmare like that again. I never walked in my sleep. You know, it was just funny. It was just amazing how it changed. So I'm assuming it's all connected. Everything is connected.
Oh, yeah. Now, how did you get into helping detectives with missing persons and that kind of thing?
Well, basically what it was, when I first started, I heard on a radio, well, you know, I'm out here doing this recording. See, the recording is what started. You know, if I could take these recordings and I can hear all these spirits, why can't I help somebody? So my first actual case that I did, I called this brother that was like, you know, 45 miles away or 35, 40 miles away maybe. And I said, listen, I do this. I record voices. I go to places and I can hear spirits and they come on and they tell me stuff. And I said, I would love to help your brother. I don't, you know, I know he's missing, and I think it'd be great to maybe go to his place. Maybe something will come on that's, you know, valuable. So they invited me one Sunday morning, and my wife let me go because it was, you know, a good thing. So I went there, and I met the people, and one of them was a detective. And I went into the house with the brother. There was two brothers there, and I went into the house, and I started doing things. I started doing my recordings, and then I asked questions, walk into every room, and they wouldn't say nothing. I'd walk into his bedroom, and I'd walk into the dining room. It was a mobile home. And then we walked outside, and I walked out front. As soon as I walked out front, I started actually choking. I felt like I was being choked. And then actually their eyes popped up, you know, it popped out because they're like, okay, well, you know, let me tell you something. Because we had another medium here, and in the almost exact same spot, she had the choking too. So, you know, how can two strange people from nowhere around, this woman actually drove from like five states away to do this for them. You know what I mean? And here yeah. I am, you know, there's no way that we could get the same thing. So I went and took my audio home and I listened to it, put on a recorder, and I came back with like 100 responses, and I came back and I met with them again. I said, this is what I've got. I went over every audio with them, every thing that came through, every EVP, and they said, listen, you're connecting with him definitely because – you know, I can feel him. I can, you know, I can understand the words that's coming through are actually words he would speak all the time, or he would say all the time. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
And the action of him stuttering, I said, listen, I keep saying that like he's a stutterer, and yes, he was a stutterer. So whenever he would say certain words, it would come through like, you know, it wasn't straight like everybody else would say. And then, I mean, all this stuff, and then I brought up money, and I brought up this, and I even got this name, Armami, and I'm like, I don't know what that is, Armami. But see, at the time, I couldn't understand what the spirits were saying to me until later on, they actually end up arresting this guy, and it sounded like Armami, and it ended up being very close to the original person's name. He was actually giving me the name of the original person that actually took him. So, and the thing is about this, what's interesting is 3 months before, I actually went in this guy's house, the actual person that took him and messed with him and tried to steal his money, I went in his house and actually did some work through my job. So it was really creepy to see that on TV. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I actually have been there. So
yeah.
After that, guys, after that, I did try 3 or 4 killers' homes I actually went to. How crazy is that? And later on, I would see, oh my, wow, I was there 6 months ago. So it was like I was being directed to go to these places. How did I, because I have other guys that work for me. So I didn't have to be in this position or that place or this place. You know, somebody else could have taken, but I was directed to these places. And check this out. I went to another place, and one of my guys said, listen, I need to reschedule this. I said, okay, no problem. So we rescheduled, and I ended up going out there. So when I went out, and this is in my book too, so I went out to this house, and I said, as soon as I walked in, I just told her straight up, I said, listen, I don't feel right in your house. There's something bugging me. I don't feel right. I feel like there's something going on. And she said to me, you know why? I said, why? She said, because I'm a psychic. I'm like, what? I didn't really believe in psychics, you know what I mean? I said, okay, so you're a psychic. Okay, that's cool. So, you know, I told her about my audio, what I do, you know. So she shook my hand, and then I left. And she told me, she said to me, she said, pretty soon you will not need that recorder because you are going to be an actual, a very strong psychic. I'm like, okay, that's funny. But she knew it, and I'm telling you. What happened is, as I left, she said to me, she said, I get two names, and she gave me the middle name of my wife and the middle name of my son. Impossible. She don't know none of them, but she gave them. She said, sometimes, she said right off the bat, sometimes I pick up middle names, and I'm hearing this name. I'm hearing Cole, and I'm hearing Christine. I'm like, okay, that's weird because that's my wife's middle name and my son's middle name, you know? And next thing you know, I started working with her, and she said to me, she said, listen, I would love for you to do this. I said, what? She said, about 25 years ago, I worked on a missing persons case. Can you go take your audio and go to that missing persons case where she actually disappeared and see if you can get anything? So I actually drove over there, and this is actually before the guy that was missing. This was actually before that. And somehow that case connected with the guy that was missing. How weird is that? You know what I mean? Because that was part of my past. So I went to there, and all of a sudden, I got information about the girl. I got choking. I got this and this and this. So I gave it to her, and she said, listen, I really don't know all this stuff, but you need to go to the babysitter of the actual girl. So I went to the babysitter's house, and I told him, I said, listen, this is what I do. This is some information I got. You might have to come over. He said, yeah, they'd love it, you know, because they've been searching for her for like 25 years, you know. So I went there, and I said, whatever you do, don't say a word until I walk in the door, and let me go and do my thing, and then you can talk. So I walked in there, and I walked down the basement, and they're following me, and then I stopped recording. I played it back, and they're standing by this couch, and all of a sudden you hear this girl come on and say, come find me, clear as day. And I have this audio on my blog, my group, and my Paranormal Journey One Man's Obsession on Facebook. That audio was there. And then they actually fell to the couch. She was so shocked with the voice that she heard, she fell to the couch. She knew that was her that was missing. She knew it just by hearing the voice. How crazy is that?
That's pretty insane.
And that's how it started with missing people. I started doing this, you know, trying to connect with missing people. And in my book, you'll see the cases that I worked around my area or far distance away. You'll see the cases I worked. You'll see the stories. You'll see me actually going to the police department and actually sitting down and giving them the audio. I said, listen here, sir, here's the audio. Tell me what you think. You know, I hear something, but I can't make out the syllables, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, this female cop comes in, and he said, well, listen, tell me if you hear anything here. Because he was an older guy, and he shoots guns, you know, and he just had bad hearing. So she came in there, she listened, and by George, she said, yes, this is what I hear. And I'm like, okay, wow, this is cool. She's hearing what I'm hearing, which is good. And that validated it. So he said, listen, and they said, step out a second. So they talked, and they took me in their vehicle and drove me around all the places where this missing girl that was found in the graveyard. They found this young girl, like 11, I think she was 11 years old, found her in a graveyard, and she was dead. So they took me to all these places, and I did the same thing with my recording, which is really cool. I did my recording, talked to the actual officer, and walked around. Then I said, I'll get back with you. So I went home, I listened to the audio recording, and I sent them like 105 audios. And I got all these audios. I have all these audios, and I have all these actual papers where I wrote it all down. And then I sent it and faxed it to them. Well, I never heard nothing from them anymore. Nothing. They wouldn't communicate with me. I'd call them back. There was no connection. They probably thought I was a nutcase, you know? So what happened was I ended up going, and later on, probably like a week or so later, they actually started, it came in the news that they were actually going from door to door and actually trying to do blood testing, testing people's blood, DNA, trying to get their DNA for something. And they were going to these males around the town and asking them if they would do it, you know, they'd do it, let them do a test on them. Well, in my audio, one of my audio said, blood is in the hair. So that's what the audio said, blood is in the hair. So they just started doing all the, and that connected to me right away. You know, they're doing all these DNA because they actually have a sample of the blood from the actual killer. But, you know, I don't know. I just never, you know, they just never really took me serious. They took my information. They never could hear what I could hear because, see, I had an issue because I had Bell palsy when I was younger, and I actually could hear better with my left ear than most people. So all these audios that were coming through, I'd say 90% of the people couldn't hear them at the time unless I explained where they were and showed it to them. And then whenever I told them where it was, they could hear it. Because, see, they couldn't hear it at the time. None of them could hear it because, you know, they're not me. They're not listening 8 to 10 to 12, 20 hours a day. I actually train my ear to hear everything. Oh, man. Sorry to talk so much, guys. When you get me on a roll.
Cool, man.
When you get me on a roll, brother. Woo! I'm so pumped right now, you know. Whenever I tell these stories, because they mean so much to me, it kind of sometimes takes my breath away. I get so hyper, so excited, so thrilled, because it's really, truly touches my heart. Because I really loved it so much and trusted the spirits to give me positive information. But, you know, I never did find a person. Never did. But the information I got was amazing because it showed later on that it came true. For instance, this one guy said, listen, this black man hit me on the head. Okay, well, I didn't understand it. You know, there's no black man around this guy. Well, later on, they found the guy, and, well, he was really, really black. He was really, really dark-skinned. You would have thought he was black. You know what I mean? So that's exactly how I see stuff, and I get information from the spirit, but I can't understand it. Just like with readings, if I read a person, some of the stuff I give them, I don't understand none of it. But they know, and the brother knew, the son might know or something. So that's how it all worked. But I tell you what, this journey was really amazing, and it was all done pretty much by myself. I mean, things would happen. Video cameras would be turned off. Audio records would be turned off. I went into one house, I sat on a crate. I'm checking out. I'm sitting on a crate. I put my recorder over by the steps. I can actually hear a spirit walking in the other room. I can hear it out of my ears. I'm blown away. And all of a sudden, the crate breaks on me. Man, I fall to the ground. I'm telling you, it was a plastic crate. How did it do that? I don't know, but I fell to the ground. I knew it was broke, and it scared me. I got to find those old videos around here somewhere because it's really impressive. So I came back the next night, and that crate was not even there. It was in another room. It was moved, and it was not broke at all. But how can you break a plastic crate? You can't. But it broke, and I fell to the ground. How crazy, you know? Just crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff. So all these experiences, all these things that happened to me are in this book, and they're all 100% true. And I even did graveyard research. I would do graveyard research. I would do grave, crosses on the side of the road. Check this out. I did one actual. I was driving by and I seen this cross, and this is in my book. And Ben was the name on the cross, but nothing else. So I went to this cross, and I sat down, and I started talking like I usually talk. And on the recorder, you can actually hear somebody open the door and shut the door on the recorder. And that's on my vlog, too, on Facebook. It's crazy. So all of a sudden, the next time I went there and I researched, I didn't know where this guy was. There was no last name. There was no dates or nothing. So I'm driving to go do another job, and then all of a sudden, one of my guys calls me and says, Rick, I need help with the mat, man. I don't know where I'm going. So I pulled into the graveyard. It was like 5 or 10 miles away. I don't know, something like that, 10 miles away. I pull into this graveyard, you know, and then all of a sudden, I give him directions, and I look up, and what do you think I see? I'm right in front of Ben 98's gravestone. Actually, there was a date on it. There was a date, Ben 1998 or something like that. So when I looked there at the actual tombstone, I'm like, Ben 1998. And I'd be darned if it was not the exact person. That was the most mind-boggling thing that happened to me. I called another friend. I said, man, you're not going to believe the story. Of course, they didn't believe it. But it was true. It really happened. And I started researching. That was another place I started researching was that graveyard. And things happened in that graveyard. Everywhere I went, man, I'm telling you, amazing things happened. It never let me down. Never. Whew. Gotta take your breath. Gotta take your breath.
Yeah. When did you decide to start reading people?
When did I do? When did I start doing? After 2 years of doing, see what happened, this is how it started. My wife wanted me to really stop the actual, to stop the actual research because I wasn't getting any sleep and I was staying up all night. So what I ended up doing is I said to her, listen, I want to write a book. Let me write a book about it because, you know, it was still in me and I wanted to get this, you know, on paper. So I told her, I said, okay. She said, well, I'll stop going out if you let me just do, you know, from 10 to 11 or 9 to 11, I'll do writing a book. So that's what I started doing. I started writing a book. That got me out of the actual paranormal and stuff like that. It got me into writing the book. But then after that, the actual started reading, started taking over because, see, spirits would not let me alone. They were not going to let me go. They wanted me to be there. They actually have an audio that says, you know we want you because they wanted me because I'm a voice for them. And they would not let me go. So after I wrote the book, I had to do something else. And that's how I started getting into the readings. And it all started from actually, you know, getting rid of the recorder and started seeing things at people's houses. I got to a point where I went up north and I said, listen, I can actually do this, guys. I said to my family, I can do this. I can see what's going to happen in the future. They're like, whatever. So I wrote down 10 things, and I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to write down 10 things. Okay, go ahead. We'll see if it comes true. And I'm telling you, all 10 things came true that day, right down to the exact. I said, listen, I see a belt, and I see these holes around this belt, and it is visible. You know, it was a cool-looking belt. I described it perfectly. Well, that was the last thing on my list. I'm like, well, everything didn't come true. You know, I'm seeing it all came true. We go pull up to McDonald's. We go there, and the lady bends over to get a cup, and what do you think she's got on? That belt I described exactly. And my wife's right there. I said, there's the belt. I said, didn't even care. Nobody cared. Everything that came on that audio, on that actual list came true. Everything came true. So I was actually seeing the future. That's exactly what I was doing. And then I made another list as I was driving home. And I said, we're going to see these things. I said, I'm going to almost hit an eagle. Okay, great. I'm driving. I went around a curve, and there was an eagle. I'm talking probably 2 feet away from the hood of my car. I almost smashed into the eagle because I didn't see it. But everybody was asleep. Isn't that great? So they didn't get to see that part, but there was other things that they did see. So, see, you know, I had a lot going for me, and that's what was, you know, that was another thing that was so exciting, is that if I wrote down something, it was going to happen. And the thing is, you didn't have to look for it. It would be presented to you. You didn't have to look for it. And that's how it sometimes is with my reads. I will offer you stuff, and you'll be like, okay, it don't make sense, but next day, bam, right in your face. I did this read for this lady when I first started out, and I did this read for this lady, and I said, listen, you know, I gave her all this stuff. She said, you know, you're a weird reader. I don't really make any sense of any of this stuff. So I said, okay, well, let me read you again. So I read her again. And she said, well, you're getting a little better. And the reason why you're getting a little better is because I let myself down. I let my block down. First time I blocked you from seeing. So, okay, no problem. So I read her more and more, and I said, listen, I keep seeing Raisin Bran. I said, I keep hearing talk about Raisin Bran, like Raisin Bran cereal. I said, do you like Raisin Bran? She said, I don't like Raisin Bran. We don't even have Raisin Bran around. Well, then the next thing you know, her girlfriend comes over the next day, and she says, hey, what do you want for breakfast? And her girlfriend says, I want Raisin Bran. I only eat Raisin Bran. And she about freaked out. She said, you've got to be kidding me. I only eat Raisin Bran. That's my favorite thing. There's her conversation about Raisin Bran. You know what I mean? Raisin Bran cereal. So she had to get back on me. And she said, you know, you are the amazing. You're interesting because you're seeing the future things, right? You're seeing all this stuff. And some stuff you see is like symbolic, you know, but I can connect. And then she said to me, she said, you're a great reader. I am so happy to know that you are a great reader. And I know you're a female. You're an amazing female reader. And then I wrote back, I said, listen, I'm a male. She said, you got to be kidding. She said, you actually pick up my energy. I feel like you're a female. I feel you are a female. You're not a male. And that's what I have a lot of female followers because I connect well with females because I was raised by a mom. I didn't have a father around. So my mom raised me, and I'm, you know, some people say I'm oversensitive because I cry at movies or I cry at anything or I cry at a song. I cry at songs because that's just how I am. I feel the passion. And people think, you know, well, geez, old Pete, you know, you're kind of wimpy. But that's just how I am. I have that passion in me. And it's amazing that I have so many connections with females. But I say 99% of my reads are mainly females. I might, you know, have maybe 1% out of all I've done is men. Because men don't really ask for reads. Females do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, I mean...
Have you learned how to shut it off when you're, you know, like when you go to work or if you go to the store or any of that? Because I know, you know, spirits are everywhere, so they can bombard you.
You're a smart man. I like the way you talk. Well, let me tell you something. Here's another story. I got lots of them, sorry. But check this out. This is what happened. With my job, I'm in probably 10 to 15 homes a day with the job, the work that I do. And most of the homes I work in are old homes, like late 1800s or early 1900s. They're old homes. They're being redone. These homes were to a point where I'd walk in, the energies would get me. I could feel them. I could actually feel them coming through me and going through my body. It was really crazy when I first started out. And what was happening is I was taking my recorder in these places and secretly recording, which was stupid. But that's what I was doing. I was getting all these activities. So what happened is I got to the point where I was making, we're talking a lot of mistakes because my mind was on the spirits watching the door open in front of me or the noise that was coming from the closet, and I wasn't paying attention to my job, so I was making mistakes. I got 6 mistakes in a row, which cost me a lot of money because I pay for my own mistakes. So my wife said, you need to stop this because you're killing us in many different ways. You know, we're losing money here and we can't afford this stuff. So my mind finally got to a point where it could shut off them. And I actually walk in the house. I have no connection to spirits anywhere unless I open myself up. So I can go in a grocery store, nothing. I can go anywhere I want to go, an old abandoned house, a graveyard. I don't have to open my mind to it. I just go there and do my thing, walk around, talk. But see, I learned to shut this out because I had to, or I was going to lose my job because of too many mistakes. So what happened is, I kind of split my brain. It's almost like I'm splitting my brain. I have my right side, I communicate with the customer, and my left side, I do my job. I have no room for spirits on these jobs anymore. I just don't have no time, no room. Because what happened one time, I was out at a job. I walked in the house, and something told me there's going to be a loud, loud bang. So I actually opened my mouth and said, ma'am, something is telling me there's going to be a loud bang. And I'm talking to you, 5 seconds later, we heard this horrible, loud crash outside her window or outside her door. So she said, oh, my goodness, how did you – whoa. So we went out there and we looked. There was nothing there. Probably blew her mind. She never wanted me back again. But it was really crazy how I was seeing it. And check this out. I was doing this at another house. Let me see if I can get this here. Shoot, I had another story that I've never told before. But anyways, I was at another house, and this guy actually told me, he said, listen, this house is severely haunted. I'm like, okay, I can't talk to him about it, right? I said, okay, well, maybe there's some ghost teams around. You can call them, you know? He said, man, I'm telling you, seriously, man, I can't sleep at night. There's noises everywhere. So I go grab his door handle to his closet, and on the other side, 3 loud bangs from the inside of the closet. I'm talking, it was a 2-foot by 2-foot closet. There's nobody in there, right? Loud bang right in front of us. We looked at each other like, okay, you need to definitely contact the paranormal team. Because I never actually, I couldn't help them because I couldn't even open my mouth. So, but man, I'm telling you, the house was really haunted. And I wish and prayed I could remember where that was, but I can't now because it was so many years ago. But, there's just so many things that was happening to me, I had to keep my mouth shut. And that's exactly what it is. I had the police come to my house because I opened my mouth. I told this woman, I said, listen, I feel that, you know, that your father passed away right here, and he used to drink a lot of coffee, you know, like 12 cups a day. And next thing you know, she's bawling her eyes out because that's what he used to do. He died of a heart attack right by her. And the next thing you know, she told her husband, and then the next thing you know, the cops are at my door. Because he was an engineer and he was really mean and didn't want nothing to do with it. I had to shut it off because I was getting close to losing my job and going to jail. Because you can actually scare somebody enough to where they'll try to sue you. And, you know, you put somebody in fear and make them go nuts, boom, next thing, it's on you. It's on you. So you got to be careful. And that's what I learned to not do it. And same with readings and stuff. I do not read people unless I sit down and get my mindset and get in the zone. because I have to get in the zone. I just calm myself down, I say my prayers, and ask for help, and then I start reading. And that's exactly how I do. So it's really cool. But yeah, and I have an actual website, theseerrickwade.com, and it has all my reads from all over the actual country and all over the world, where I actually have reading boards on there. If you click on a reading board, it goes right to my actual posts. I shut most of those down because of the energy that was coming through. I felt I was getting energy from these places. It was giving me a lot of headaches. So I shut those boards down, but they're there, and people, you can see how many people's hit on it. You can see all the responses. You can see, you know, all my reads. So I was actually reading 7 to 10 people a day and was enjoying it, man, having a ball. But guess what? It started taking my time away from my family again. And my kids started getting older, so I couldn't do the reads like I used to. They were young when I first started. And, you know, I started getting to the point where they needed me in baseball or basketball. So it got to the point where I couldn't read. So I was cramming everything in, man, to do reads, do family, do work. And it was causing issues with me. I couldn't sleep at night. I was, you know, overstressed. But what I did with my readings is I started out remote viewing. Then I started out doing past lives. Then I started out doing picture readings and paranormal buildings and just missing person pictures. So, you know, all this was actually put in place for me. But, you know, I actually hurt my family so much. They really don't want to associate it with it because, you know, with the readings, the same way, I was obsessed with it. It took over me. All I could think about was reading another person, helping another person. But, see, they don't understand how many people I've actually helped with my reads, how many mm-hmm. people I've actually gave comfort to, or actually changed their mind and actually took them away from the fear that they lived in their own home, and now they can go out that door. Now they can go out and have a life. You know, you got to look at all the positive things I've done and say, listen, I know I've made you guys suffer, but look what I've done, you know, and look how many people I've helped. And now I have to actually give myself time to not be on these sites and stuff and spend time with the family, but it's still on my mind, my book, my blog, helping people. You know what I mean? It's like it's always going to be there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I got people in the chat crying now. Doggone it. Wipe those tears.
Well, you know, it's one of those things when people, because we all have to deal with it because that's just part of our life, is dealing with death. And, you know, certain people have a harder time dealing with death in a certain way, or it just depends on who the person is that they lost. You know, they need that healing, and a lot of times getting a message from their loved one kind of puts them at ease. You know, they know that they're okay.
And that's exactly what it is. And the thing, you know, what's really interesting about how I read is, you know, I'm an object reader. I just did a read on the last radio show I was on, and the guy said, listen, read. I said, well, you know, I didn't really want to read, but, you know, they kind of like, ah, go ahead, let's go ahead and do a read, you know. We got a person that wants to read. I'm like, well, okay, I'll just go ahead, you know. So they put a name on there, Sean. I'm like, okay, I'll try to see if I can connect with Sean, you know, that person passed away or whatever. So I just started, you know, reading and stuff, and I just started giving them stuff left and right. And the first thing that came to me, which is really weird, was Twinkies. Now, come on. So if you're out here and you're like a paying person, you say, well, what? The guy's coming up with Twinkies, a random thing like that? Doesn't make any sense. But to the person that put the name Sean on there, it made perfect sense because, see, he was overseas, and it's something that they crave over there because they don't get it. It's like, you know, for some people over here, you know, they love chocolate, you know, and, you know, a certain kind of chocolate, they only get it once a year. Well, that's how it is with Twinkies over there. This Sean loved Twinkies, and that was one of his favorite things was Twinkies. So, see, it made perfect sense to the actual person I was giving the information to, but there was, and that's what I do. I see stuff, and I try to understand what I'm seeing and offer my explanation to what I'm seeing. I said, well, I'm seeing Twinkies. It's either somebody really liked them, you know, really enjoyed them. It was their favorite thing, and that's exactly what it was. See, I got to try to understand what I'm seeing whenever I get the information. And sometimes I don't understand. I see the opposite, or I try to explain the opposite, but it's there. And they can connect to it, but they can't actually say, well, okay, well, that's the opposite of me. And sometimes I'll read a person, everything I give them is opposite. Why is that? I don't know, but it's opposite. I'll say, oh, wow, so you love chocolate? No, I hate chocolate. And I'll say, hey, wow, man, Pepsi's your favorite drink. No, actually, I hate Pepsi. I love Coke. You know what I mean? That's how it comes. But what I'm actually seeing is, like, listen, you like pop. Instead of saying, you know, Pepsi, I should be saying, hey, you like pop a lot. I see you drinking pop a lot. But see, they're like, oh, well, yeah, man, I drink pop every day. You know what I mean? Or, you know, that's how you got to watch how you word what you're saying. And that's where it can go wrong in a read. But see, I offer what I see now. I don't try to explain as much. I offer, and then they come back with an explanation where I'm getting it from. And some of my stuff, I mean, will blow your mind, especially with my past life reads, man. They would blow your mind because they actually did research on the information I give them, and I'm telling you, they found exact information that made perfect sense and connected to them. It's really crazy. Crazy. You got to read some of that stuff, man. I'm telling you, it will blow your mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and definitely.
I can tell you a story out of one of my past life reads. And one of these past life reads, which is kind of interesting. I mean, I did so many reads, okay? So many reads. And this lady, she come and she said, listen, I don't believe you. And she dogged me out terribly. I mean, just said, I think it's fake. It's not real. It's just not right. It's not real. It's not real. I don't believe it. And she was really tough. So she, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to take 10 people for past life reads. And she jumped on the bandwagon. So I did a read for her. But, you know, it was so bad that I actually erased it from the actual post because it was so bad. It was about being kidnapped. It was about being tortured. It was about having her fingernails pulled off. Her fingers broke. I mean, it was horrendous what this person did to her. But see, she was very upset when she said, listen, you gave everybody else bad stuff, and then you took mine out. I'm really hurt. She said, I really want to see that. So I figured it out, and some other people copied it already, and they put it back on there. And she said, listen, this read, I'm in tears and I'm bawling my eyes out because I know for a fact what you saw here exactly happened to me because I can feel the connection. And it's telling me, yes, this exactly. And she just knew it. And from that point on, she was a great follower. Was shocked, but she was a great follower. And that's what happens with these reads. You give these reads to people and you touch their heart. And they feel like they owe you something, which they don't owe me nothing. But they feel like they owe me something, and they're there for me like I was there for them. And that's the beautiful part about it. We are together as a big family. And that's exactly how it works.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, you know, with the paranormal, it's such an unknown subject. And, you know, people, when you can give them something that they need, you can fill in that void, and with a read, you know, it means a lot to them, especially when you give them information that they know that no one else knows that information except their loved one that has departed.
And that's exactly what it is. If you think about it, for instance, if somebody did a read for me, okay, my mom died of a heart attack when I was 15. So if somebody was to come and say, listen, for some reason, I see her having a heart attack and her falling and hitting her head on a stove. That's direct information because she fell and hit her head on a stove, okay? Nobody, that person doesn't know that. But if you get that one detail, that right there is enough to make you believe that actually something is going on with that person. How the heck do they know that? How do they even know she had a heart attack? Well, they can guess on a heart attack because a lot of people can guess on heart attacks. But not that she fell and hit her head on a stove. There's no way. So see, that one right there detail, that might come through when I'm reading somebody, something like that, to where they're like, okay, that's impossible. For instance, I did this one read. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to ask one little thing before you went into another story was, have you had people that you've read that are completely skeptic
and they'll, before they meet you or before they have you read them, they tell the spirit or they hope the spirit will say something through your read, like a key word or something that they know, you know, it's legit.
That's exactly what they're see, I even did this. See, I practice this stuff with people on these websites. If you go and you do these reads and you look, and I practice this stuff. I went up to, you know, because, you know, on some of these sites, they really give beginners a hard time when they come on there and they say, listen, I want to practice reading. Can I try to read you? They are really mean, and they will come in there and they'll dog that person out and say, listen, you're doing code reads, you're not doing anything, blah, 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 and they just treat them really like trash. And they did the same thing to me, but I overcome them. Because, you know, I can say what you want to say. I just offer what I see, and that's how it is. So I went on there, and I left for a while in another place. I was doing a reading. I came back. I said, man, they are just dogging these people out. So I went in there, and I said, listen, you guys know who I am. I'm Rick Wade. I'm going to actually have five of you, the top skeptics, come on here and ask me for a read. And they did it. And I actually have this post on my actual site. You can actually see it on my site. You can go in there and read this. Four out of the five. One guy I've never been able to read because he just won't let it flow. He just won't let it go. He won't agree, and he's just opposite, and he won't let it go. But the thing is about him, I even picked up something on him. I said, you know, I keep seeing something about wetting the pants or going in the pants. You know, he said something about going in your pants or something. He said when he was younger, he peed his pants out of nowhere. It just happened, you know. But, you know, he didn't care about that. It was no big deal. But that didn't make any sense to them. So even if you give them a direct hit like that, they're going to blow it off because that's how they are. Mm. But these other four skeptics said, listen, man, you just gave me enough information. All I have to say is you connected with me. You made me a believer. And that's exactly what I did. And I have four out of five. That's a pretty doggone good percentage to take. And then on another one of my posts, I have the top skeptic, and the same thing, the top skeptic, I mean, he's got like 23,000, 24,000 posts. The man's been on there forever. And I did a read for him, and I said to him, I said, listen, he said, do a past life read. So he came in there, and I did a past life read, and I said, listen, I keep seeing you in a plane, and all of a sudden your plane goes down, you crash, and you drown. And he said that he cannot get sleep at night. And he actually started promoting me and sending my information to all his people that debunk people. I said, listen, this guy is for real, but he's not reading past lives. They're really, really super smart people out here, I'm telling you, very intelligent. He said, he's not reading the past life, but I'll tell you what, he's reading my thoughts. He's reading my dreams, because my dreams, he's describing my dreams exactly, the fear, the pain I always have. I'm always in the plane, I'm always going down, and I always drown. And that's exactly what he brought to my attention, exactly. And this guy said he can't sleep at night. He cannot sleep at night ever because of this nightmare that will not stop coming to him. So, I mean, and it probably could drive a person crazy. But I'm telling you, and that's just how it works. You know, I've always went up against skeptics. They've always come up and said, listen, read me. I don't believe you. But, you know, I got to the point where I said, hey, you read my site. I'm not reading you anymore. You want to debunk it? Go read my site. I don't want to waste my time anymore. And that's exactly what I do, read my site. And that's exactly what happened. The same thing on my last show, a guy came and said, listen, I don't believe in reads and stuff like that. And I didn't hit with the guy. I hit one thing out of, like, five things because, you know, he wasn't open to it. He didn't understand it, or he didn't care about it, or he didn't want it to happen. And or maybe I just didn't hit, you know. Maybe I just did not hit. And maybe I was not pulling that energy good enough through from him. But, you know, and that could be the case. I don't know that. I don't have the intelligence on that yet. But I'll tell you what, we hit. And if you read my site and you look through that stuff, man, you could be there for days and going through it. And I even did this on Facebook, and I still do it on Facebook. And I just read a person the other day on Facebook. And the information I get, there's no way I can get it because I don't know the person. They're in a different state or a different country. I don't know anything about them. But all I need is their first name, and they give me their first name, and then I start connecting with that first name and that person. And it's almost to the point where I could be reading their mind, because I put that as a post on one of my sites, let me read your mind. And people laughed at it and stuff, and so I started picking up things like, man, that is crazy. How the heck did you know that my dog just went and tore up the trash can, trash all over my house? I woke up the next morning, this lady said, I just read her, and she gets up, And she don't look at me or read yet, and she just goes up and she cleans up the whole kitchen, the living room, the dog, trash everywhere. And she gets on there and she looks at me and she says, listen, I see trash everywhere. It's like the trash can's dumped over. It's in your living room. It's in your kitchen. I mean, this is really crazy. Why am I seeing it? And she come back and said, dude, that happened like 3 hours before I even said it. You know what I mean? Isn't that crazy? Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how it works. That's exactly how it works. So it's just really a really interesting thing, a really interesting story. But I have so many stories, you know, I probably go on forever and ever because I have so many stories of what has happened to me. That's why the book is so interesting, because these are all true stories. They're not, you know, this is actual true events that happened to me. And it's amazing events. And I have pictures. I have audio. I mean, I have all the proof. I took proof of everything I could. So when you have the picture and you have the audio and you have the true story, it makes you more of a believer. And then you see me now helping all these people, reading people and helping people. And I rarely get the negative feedback. If somebody says, well, I probably had like one or two in the last 30 reads. They might say, well, you know, it's all right, man. You did okay, but, you know, and then they move on and they never heard from them again. It's kind of like they tested me. But, yeah, definitely it's just an amazing thing, and that's why it makes my book more real and more beneficial for people, because it's not fake. It all happened. You can actually see what happened to me, and you can actually see every step of my journey on my reads and all this stuff. It's all there for you to actually see, and all the proof is there. So it's a nice, nice book to actually get to people and in their hands. Because a lot of people are struggling right now with the paranormal. They're scared, or, you know, weird things have happened to them. And a lot of people don't even, you know, they're still shy to bring it out. They're scared to say, oh, my goodness, you know, my lamp fell off the table last night. They're afraid to tell anybody because they'll think they're a nutcase. Because that's, you know, and it happens all the time. Weird things. And it's getting worse, buddy, I'm telling you. I think what's happening is the good and the bad, they're getting this thin, thin veil. And I'm telling you, I think the bad things are happening more and more, and it's getting more real for people. And, you know, a lot of these shows that come out, you know, oh, you know, demon attack and stuff. You know, some of those cases, I know for a fact it happened. I did a show with Robert, he's a preacher, and he's Robert Hall. He's one of my friends on Facebook. And he actually did a show. I had a show done on him, and I'm telling you, I watched that show. I actually watched that show, and I picked up the energy from the actual person and from the building. I know for a fact that story was true because I could see it. I could feel it, and I can understand it. So, see, most people say, man, that's fake. But, no, it wasn't fake. And that's a good thing to have me, of a TV show that's putting out a show, let me read that doggone building first. Let me read that building. Let me give you this to the TV or the radio or whatever they're doing, you know. Let me give you my read first and then play your show and then play, you know, give the timeline or whatever where I put the read and watch people's eyes. They're going to be like, how the heck did this guy know this stuff? It's impossible. But he did it, you know, 2 days before they even aired the show. So that would actually give you better proof, you know, because a lot of these shows, you know, they could say it's fake. You know, they do a lot of stuff like that. But a lot of people walk away from these shows because they say, this is too unbelievable, but it really does happen. And I feel it, definitely.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah, some of the shows out there, though, they embellish too much, and they're more for entertainment. I wish there were more shows out there that were more realistic, you know, but... Then again, you may not get as much, the ratings may not be as, you know, because some of the places they go, they kind of, you know, they talk up that there's bad spirits there or whatnot. And what's crazy is some of these places that are on television, I've investigated, and there's nothing bad there. But then all of a sudden they're on television saying there's a demon there. And I'm like, really?
Well, you know, it's really weird because, you know, I did the post town school down in Ohio. My first investigation in five years. And I went down there, and there was supposed to have been a story there about a demon and blah, 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 blah. And I went down there, and I picked up on the energy. I picked up on the stuff. The information I came in, I mean, Sherry Hall's in there. She actually is in the chat room. She actually was my partner on the research. She's my admin. So is Sherry Freeman, and so is Sherry Neville. They're actually my admin. And check it out. Actually, we're there. We're sitting there in the hallway. We can hear those kids clear as day down the end of the hall. There's no kids there. You can hear the kids playing. The information that was coming through to us was amazing. The connection we was having was really, really cool. That was my first investigation. But I was hearing things. I was seeing things. I felt the guy there. I seen him grabbing the girl. I seen him holding her mouth. I seen the boy next to him that actually didn't make any sense. I mean, this kid isn't running because I guess he had, you know, was not all the way there or something, you know what I mean? The spirit-wise, you know, he actually took over what he had whenever he's alive. But, you know, that's what – I was getting all this information. She said, listen, man, that's – you're right on target. You're right on target. And then what was really – it blew her mind was whenever I went outside, she said, listen, I don't want to tell you this. I do not want to tell you this. I said, listen, well, let me tell you what I'm seeing first. And before she even said it, I brought up exactly what happened to her right down to a T. And she was said, listen, you blew my mind right then because I wasn't going to tell you this, but you already knew it because it was given to me. And that's how it works. So, you know, I can't wait to get out and actually do some of these investigations with these groups. And what needs to be done is I would love for them to videotape me and watch me in action and let me just do my thing. It's just like reading a person. Let me walk in a place that, you know, I don't need to know anything, and let me do what I need to do and give the information. And then, you know, because that's the real deal. But even these shows, they'll go in there and have the actual psychic medium come out, and then they'll play. You know, they try to make it as real as possible. And I'm sure some of those things are, you know, are right. But I can see that some of them are fake because I can feel it. I can feel the energy, and I can tell, okay, well, that's really, to me, did not really happen. You guys are actually saying this and that. And I don't like these guys that provoke. I mean, they can do what they want to do, but I do not provoke spirits. I don't say, listen, get your butt over here now. Or else, I'm going to break something over here. I'm going to make you mad, you know? I don't do that. I ask them nicely, I communicate, and I get information. And that's how it should be. And I know there's many teens out there that do this, and they think it's a cool thing, you know, to, you know, hey, I'm going to take this cross, and I'm going to, you know, whatever, on holy water, and, you know, just try to make the spirit. I mean, come on. These energies out here, I'm telling you, most energies I ran into was actually the actual owner in his real life. That's how it was. If he was cranky and had an attitude, well, he's going to be cranky and have an attitude in the spirit world. And that's how I feel, because whenever I give the audio to the actual family member, I say, listen, this is exactly what this guy said. Wow, that's exactly how he is when he was alive. So, you see, that's what I run into. I haven't ran into anything really bad, but maybe I might, and then maybe my mind might be changing, and maybe I might be throwing some holy water, too. I don't know. All I know is right now I haven't had that experience. But I'll tell you what, man, it's just been an amazing journey, and my book is really, really doing good. It's just the first week, and it's out, and it hit top. Yesterday it hit number 21 in the top 100 on Kindle, which is pretty good considering its first book just came out. You know what I mean? I started out Friday. So to be able to hit that kind of number, I think that's good. I don't even know anything about it. You know what I mean? I just know I'm seeing my book at number 21, and I know number two is Andrea Perrin, and she actually wrote The Conjuring, or, you know, The Conjuring movie. So she's number two. So if I'm 21, I got to be doing something right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, where can you find your book online?
Well, you can get it on Amazon or Kindle or CreateSpace. All three of those.
Nice.
And it's $5.99 for Kindle, and I think it's $12.99 for CreateSpace and Amazon.
Nice.
And I'll tell you what, guys, it's really a cool book. It's exciting and it's thrilling. And even Sherry, now Sherry in the, she actually read the book. She wrote here, his book is awesome, which, you know, I understand she's my admin, but, you know, you got to read the book. And she loved it, and her daughter loved it. You know, I got some positive feedback coming back on there, too. Man, it's really funny. Check this out. I got this response on there saying, hey, I'm really proud of you. You did a great job. You know, it's a great book, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wow, look here, guys. I have this person in here that has no name on it. I'm like, that's cool. Well, my wife went and wrote a preview or wrote a review on it. She went and actually wrote on it, and I'm thinking, oh, this is really cool. Whoever this is, I don't know what it is. I don't have a name, right? Well, it doesn't show a name. You know why? Because it's the same Amazon as mine. I have her Amazon. Isn't that funny? So I had to go in and erase that because he snuck in there and did it, and it shows up there. You can't write a response, and I didn't write it, so I knew it had to be my wife. Isn't that funny? He snuck that in. Well, that shows you that she's really proud of me, and that's a good thing. I had to go up there and give her a hug. So that's a beautiful thing. But, boy, we've been having a great time tonight. Sorry I didn't get you guys to talk very often, but, you know, I'm a talker, you know. I'm definitely
talking. Oh, it's fine. It's fine. We enjoy having somebody come on and share their stories with everybody. I enjoyed listening to them.
And it's very exciting. And, you know, the thing is, I'm just starting with this journey. My paranormal journey, One Man's Obsession, on Facebook is growing probably 50 to 100 people a day, which is really impressive since I'm just one author, you know what I mean? And it's about my journey and me helping people on there and me giving, what I do is I put names on there, I'll put pictures on there, and I'll let people practice opening up, which is a good thing. And I'm telling you, some people will hit that like you would not believe, right on target. They will hit it. They will hit exactly what happened to the person or, you know, and it's really amazing stuff to go on there. And all these people will join in. And sometimes I'll get 75 to 100 responses, maybe 150 responses on one topic. When if you go to all these other blogs and stuff and all these other things, man, there is no activity like there is on my blog. There isn't. And everybody comes together. This is like we're a big, big, huge family. And if somebody needs something, we're there for them. We try to help out. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I can't read like I used to read. I used to be able to read a lot, but I tell you, I'm like 45 people behind on my site because I just don't have the time because of promoting and my family and stuff. I just don't have the time anymore. So I sneak one in once in a while. But what I think I might do is I might just have a week of reading to get caught up. Just not go in there and talk about anything, but just do readings until I get caught up. Not play with the site. Just mark it on it. Hey, I'm going to read this week. I'm not going to be on the site. And that might, you know, that... And that might be really good. And check it out. I went and did a read on another site. This lady said, listen, I bought your book last night. I said, cool. And she said, I really want to know about my mom. So I did a read for her that minute. I was in my car. My wife was in the store. I did it. Probably took me 5 minutes to do the read. And it just blew her mind. The last thing I gave her, I said, listen, she keeps telling me about your teeth, that you have some major issues with your teeth. She said, that last thing sealed it for me. And I can't tell you the story, but it sealed the read. The other stuff made sense too. Because I said, I keep seeing cars. She said, yes, she was a car salesman. And she sold many, many cars. And, you know, all this stuff I was giving her. And then what that did is gave her confirmation that her mom's okay. And I told her, I said, listen, I don't see them going to heaven or to hell. I see them around you. That's how I see them. That's how they come to me. That's how they do. And that right there makes them feel unbelievable how that makes them feel to say, oh, no, your mom's moved on, or no, I can't see. You know, I give them information to really make them feel better, and that right there brings joy to me. And I don't know how many times I've actually cried. I know it sounds really crazy, but I'm a man, but I cry, man. And I tell you, one time I was doing this one read, you know, and I couldn't figure it out, and I left this big, huge site because I said, man, there's something going on. Something's going on. And I kept feeling this weird stuff going on with I think it was something with my chest or something. I couldn't figure it out, you know. And then this lady, she'd been on my mind, and I did a read for her, and I said, listen, I keep feeling this crushing in my chest, and I was afraid. No, it was choking. I kept choking for like a week. And I'm telling you, I was choking really bad in my throat. I could hardly breathe sometimes. It was really weird, and I thought it was from this big, huge site I was on. And so I got rid of the site, but no, it was the actual next person I was reading. Her actual... she actually almost choked to death when she was younger. I mean, she actually choked to death and went out and died for a while, and they brought her back to life. And that's what I was picking up. And in my read, I was saying, listen, I'm still choking. Something's going on. I feel you had either you've been choked to death, you know, like either tried to be murdered or you choked on something. And all the other stuff came to her, too, and it just blew her away. And that's what was happening. I was picking up the energy of her, and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. It was really cool, really cool. And then it left. As soon as I read her, it's crazy. I never had that choking again. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, where are some of the, if anybody wants to read some of the blogs or get a hold of you or anything like that, where can they go to do that?
Well, they can go to Facebook, My Paranormal Journey, One Man's Obsession. That is my blog. They can go on there, and we add everybody, and we welcome everybody. Welcomes everybody, which is a really a great thing. And then the SeerRickWade.com is actually my site. Now that's actually you can post a comment in there and stuff, but you know I actually don't go there to actually communicate with people. I just have that there so people can understand. I have my radio shows on there, so they can actually see where I went through, what I went through in my life, and what happened. So and then my book's on there, and you can buy it on there and stuff too. So you know all that stuff's on there too. But that's the two places I hang out right now. I'm on Twitter too, so they can actually look me up on Twitter. But I don't do a lot on Twitter. But you know what? People tell me I need to get on Twitter a little bit more. I'm only in those places. But I only do the readings if I do the readings if they come on Facebook and ask me. But like I said, guys, on my site, I'm 45 behind. But I actually, with people, after I do shows like this, I get like 30 to 50 people coming to me for reads. After I get off this show, they'll be a friend of me. And I'm telling you, in the last probably month and a half, I've probably got probably 900 people, 900 friends on Facebook in the last month and a half. So they keep coming like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 every day. And they all want to read. Of course they want to read. But I just can't do that because I don't have the time. I just don't have it right now until something changes. But like I said, I'm probably about 250 people behind on reads, and I just tell them, listen, if I get time, I'll do it. But I really don't have time. There's just no more time for me to do anything. But just try to do this and try, because I work like 65, 70 hours a week. That's a lot of hours. And then I have a family at home, you know. I'm just barely making it to even get on there and actually do a read because I'm so tired, exhausted. But maybe it's going to change, and maybe I can loosen my hours, and maybe I can get out there a little bit more and spend more time. Because, you know, I would love to go and read people. I would love to do that, you know, work out my mind, get my family out my mind, and go there and just read people. Man, it would be exciting. It would be fun and exciting and thrilling. And I would let people videotape me and do the whole session because I'm not going to worry. If I make a mistake, hey, if I don't get something right, hey, I don't care. You know, hey, I'm a human. I make mistakes. I didn't get it right. I didn't see it right. You don't have to, you know, push somebody aside for that, you know. You need to look at everything, you know, what that person offers. Don't just, you know, oh, yeah, you hit every time, you know, because I'm not going to hit every time. That's just how it works. And these shows, this show's only hits, I don't like them. They need to actually show more than just hits because there is misses. There is misses. We do make mistakes. It's not really a mistake. It was more like, we never got the right information, or maybe it didn't connect at the time. But, you know, I'm going to be for real. I'm the real man. I'm going to be for real. If you want to videotape me, videotape. You know, if I don't connect right, hey, I move on. I'm not going to sit there and let it bother me. So I have to move on because I know I'm going to connect on the next one, and I'm going to help somebody. And right now I'm connecting right now because I'm getting major chill bumps. See, what happens whenever I get connected, I feel connection. I get major chill bumps in my left side of my head. That means that there's a spirit around that's actually bugging me. So somebody's bugging me. And I'm getting a young girl. That's what I'm getting. Some young girl is bugging me. I don't know who she is. But that's what happens to me. I pick up the energy. I don't know where I'm picking it up from, but that's what happens. But it's kind of interesting. But I love it, man. I love it, man. I had a great time tonight, guys. We got like 7 more minutes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. I really appreciate you guys giving me the time to come on your show, which is really great. And I definitely, you know, the books just came out, so things are going to be happening. Hopefully, to be growing, and hopefully, I'll be able to get out and do some paracons and you know, and hook up with some people and some places. And you know, I'm even thinking of my own radio show. I've got people offering me radio shows left and right. which is kind of cool. But, you know, I don't know if I even got time for that right now. Because right now, this just came out. I want to take a break, and because I worked my butt off to get this blog up, and so did my admin. We worked our butts off, you know, being there for everybody, every day, 24-7 for 3 months. It's only been off like a little over 3 months, and it's got 3,400 people, which is pretty good, considering, you know, it's just about my journey, which is really awesome. So, yeah, I'm really thrilled, but I'll tell you what, it just takes a lot out of you, man. I'm telling you, to actually be there is just like a job. That's exactly what it is. It's a job. You're there 24-7, and that's what I feel. But it's a good thing, though, you know. It's a positive move toward the future, and I want to be able to get out there. I want to be able to help people, and, you know, and I'm telling you what, as many people as I've helped in the past, I know there's way more out there. Because there's so many people that really want that confirmation that they're okay, their loved one, and I'm here to do that for them, and that's a beautiful thing because that's what I'm concentrating on now, is you know if you have a you know I can go anywhere and see things, I can go anywhere and feel things, but you know to be able to pick up stuff that's really strong, and helps the person, man, that's all I want, you know I don't charge for reads right now, and I haven't really charged. I charged maybe. And $50 over the last 7 years or 5 years, but you know, because people offer and gave me money, but I really charge for reads because I don't feel it might right now. I need to charge for reads, but it might cause an issue in the future. I don't know because you know a lot of people get upset when you are next to them in a Paracon and they're all charging and you're not because people's going to come to me and they're not going to come to them. But you know, but I'm trying. You know, I'm trying to fit in the world. That's what I'm trying to do, and I want to make it all good for everybody. But, you know, maybe I'll just have a donation place or, you know, if you want to tip me or something, you know, hey, you did good, man, here's a tip, you know. I'd rather do it that way than to say, listen, pay me $50. I don't want to do
yeah.
that. I just don't want to do that. It's not in me, and I don't like it. And that's a good thing because, you know, if I don't give them what they want, I want to give their money back. I really do. I would rather give their money back than to take their money and not give them what they actually, you know. But, you know, a lot of people will take that money back, and you actually hit them, and hit them really hard, but they'll walk away with their money, you know what I mean? So, but, you know, I'm not out to actually take people's money. I would love for them to buy my book. That would be cool, because I think that's going to help them, and that's really what I'm here for, to get that book out, because I want to get another book out, and that'll be my Seer book, and then I want to get my family research about me and my childhood out, man, because that's going to blow people away, really blow them away. So it's going to be like one step, two steps, three steps. And people are going to know a lot about me because I have a lot going on with me. And I love to talk, so I'll be a great speaker one day whenever I can get out there and meet people and communicate with people and pick things up. Man, it would be awesome to go out and hang out with me because I'm a fun guy. I'm a singer. I'm a dancer. I just love everything, man. I have a lot of love for the world. I'm telling you, I do. I have a lot of love for everybody. And that's a great thing to have, I'm telling you. I call brothers because they are my brothers, and I call sisters because they are my sisters. You know, and some people get upset when I call them a sister because they, hey, I'm not your sister. But, you know, really, you are my sister. You know, we're all brothers and sisters out there. We really are. So, wow. Well, I've talked enough tonight, guys. I really appreciate it. Guys. You have anything else you want to talk about?
Well, we're down to the last 2 minutes of the show, so we just wanted to say thank you for coming on and sharing everything, and we hope your book is a huge success for you.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I'll tell you what, if we stay positive and focused and do good for others, we will be going forward. I'm telling you, we'll be definitely going forward, and we'll, you know, and if I can help one person, two people, three people, I will feel good about that. That will be a great thing, and I think that's what I'm here for, is to help others, because all my attention goes for helping others right now. That's what it is, giving them education, giving them training, giving them understanding about what's happening to them or what's going on in their life. You know, I'm almost like a teacher, and I think that's what I'm going to be doing in the future, is teaching people and having classes and having people come, and, man, we're going to have a great time. You know, it's going to be a fun thing. It's going to be like, I'm your brother there, really, or your sister there. I'm telling you, we're going to have a great time, you know, and it's not going to be such a, like a straight class, you know, where you need to do this, you need to do that. No, we're going to enjoy it, and we're going to have fun, and that's what it's all about, is actually smiling. You make a person smile, Right there, that's the key right there. And I make people smile all day long because I love to smile myself. I really do. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful, beautiful.
Nice.
But you guys got to get on my site. You got to come on my blog and check me out, guys. Come on, man. I'm telling you. You got to get out there and check me out, man. It's fun and exciting. And but, you know, I'm sure I'll be able to come back and visit you guys in the future because, you know, I'm working on my second book. I already got that halfway done. So it only probably take me a good month and a half, and I can pop that other book out, like, in no time at all. I just got to get this flowing and actually walk away for a little while and actually do it. But, yeah, definitely, man. I'm telling you. And that one's going to touch a lot of people because it's actually about helping people. It's not about paranormal. It's about actually seeing and helping people and reading people and missing cases. And I mean, I worked on like probably 25 cases through this next book, which the stories are going to be pretty amazing.